Chapter 1.
There must be something on the seas that even the most staunch and bloodthirsty pirates have come to fear. From his spot, high in the crow's nest, a pirate trained his spyglass on the horizon. Nothing. No sign of any ship besides his own and the two they travelled with. The Caribbean Sea was calm, the bright sun sparkling off the ocean waves. Everything was peaceful. So why did he have such a strong sense of foreboding? He lifted his spyglass again. This time he could see a smudge on the horizon. It might be a ship sailing toward them. Worse, it might be an East India Trading Company ship. The pirate knew what would happen if they were taken by company agents. He'd heard stories of the recent executions, pirates hanged by the dozen, the thunk of the gallows trap door, the last sound they ever heard. And in the last few months, the executions were becoming more and more frequent. The East India Trading Company was intent on wiping out the pirates of the Caribbean, and beyond. The pirate leaned over to call down to the captain. If it was an East India Trading Company ship, they would have to make a run for it. But as he looked down, he saw a shape in the water beside them, a dark shape, rising up, and rising fast. "Captain!" he shouted. It was too late. With an explosion of ocean spray, the shape burst through the surface of the water. First, pale masts rose into the air, then came the rails and wooden hull, crusted with coral and shells. A carved, skeletal, winged female rode on the bow. It was something out of the darkest of nightmares. It was something pirates spoke of in hushed and frightened tones. It was the Flying Dutchman. The ship opened her cannon ports as she surfaced. With a loud explosion, cannonballs blazed into the side of the pirate ship. The pirates on all three ships ran to their stations, trying to load and return fire, but the Flying Dutchman was too fast, too close, too powerful. The attack was over in minutes. Smoke curled over the burning wreckage. Bodies of dead pirates drifted past loose barrels and blackened wood. The Flying Dutchman sailed through. Regal, untouched, unstoppable. The doomed pirate in the crow's nest had been right. On the distant horizon, a ship appeared. It was an East India Trading Company ship, the Endeavour, carrying Lord Cutler Beckett, Admiral James Norrington, and Governor Wetherby Swan. In the captain's cabin of the Dutchman, Davy Jones sat at his pipe organ. His scaly skin glistened in the dim light, while the octopus tentacles that hung from his face moved back and forth gently over the keys, filling the room with a melancholy sound. With a sigh, he lifted one of the tentacle fingers on his right hand to his eye, and discovered a tear forming. Sadness and emotion. That could only mean one thing. He glanced up with a scowl. Above the cabin, Admiral Norrington and Lord Beckett were coming aboard at that moment with a contingent of Marines. The Marines seemed afraid to be standing on the deck of the Flying Dutchman, and their fears were well founded. The crew of the Dutchman was covered in barnacles and scales, more monster than human. "Steady, men," said Norrington, noting his crew's unease. "We stand aboard a sea-going vessel, no more and no less. You will compose yourselves as Marines." As he spoke, several of the men heaved a chest over the rail and onto the deck of the Dutchman. This was what they were here to guard, the dead man's chest. Inside was the still-beating heart of Davy Jones. From his spot on the deck, Lord Beckett smiled. He had waited and plotted for a great length of time to be standing where he was now, with Jones at his command. Beckett knew that Davy Jones captained the fastest ship on the ocean. The crew of the Dutchman were all bound to Davy Jones for 100 years, body and soul. Davy Jones himself was immortal. After his true love had broken his heart, he had cut out the offending organ and put it in the dead man's chest, which he buried at Isla Cruces. Nobody could harm him unless they had his heart. Which was precisely why Lord Beckett had spent so much energy searching for it. To begin with, he'd arrested a blacksmith named Will Turner and the governor of Port Royal's daughter, Elizabeth Swan, on their wedding day. In exchange for their freedom, he'd sent Will to get a compass belonging to the pesky pirate.